Good morning. Welcome to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin. And this week, we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff. My guest is Tammy Roloff. She is a licensed midwife, a licensed doula, and a doula trainer. And we're going to talk about all thing mom and baby. Good morning, Tammy.
Good morning.
And if you have a garden question, please give a call. Kate Brister is here. And you can ask her any questions. The phone number is 503-325-0010. And if you have any questions for my guest on the air, you can call the same number. So you propose that we talk about changes in how labors are going. They're more they seem to be more difficult for women, more women having more problems with presentation. And what can we do about that?
Well, you're right, Anne. We do seem to see longer labors, labors that are more dysfunctional, where they're not as straightforward as they used to be. I actually talked to an older doctor probably 20 years ago now who said he had stopped doing birth because he felt like birth had become too difficult. It was taking too long, and his reason for it was that women were no longer walking. And I think that we just see in this increased sedentary lifestyle that, you know, has produced greater obesity and all of the health care issues that are talked about in the mainstream media, but it's also affecting birth and the way labors are going, and in the increase in cesareans. There are lots of reasons for that, but one of them is just these dysfunctional labors. And we see over 1% of women in the United States are having cesarean births, and we know that the World Health Organization recommends that it's no more than 15%. So we're way above that, and certain areas in the country have a lot higher than the 31% rate of cesareans. So yes, there are things that I believe that women can do during their pregnancies to avoid having prolonged labors, long back labor where the baby is posterior, and just these prolonged labors that end up with more interventions, more surgical births, and ultimately just costs our country a lot more money in healthcare dollars.
Absolutely. So you mentioned walking. So how much and how often and what intensity?
Well, you know, as much as we can, trying to recreate what was done by women for, centuries prior to the automobile. As much as we can, walking in our everyday lives, not relying so much on cars. That can be difficult to do.
Okay, well, one of the things, let's say that even if pregnant women are working full-time, which many are, and they're tired at the end of the day, possibly at the beginning of the day, like for 30 minutes before going to work, going out for a walk. I mean, I think most people have to schedule their exercise, and it has to be realistic, something they can do.
Right.
At the end of the day, they're probably too tired. But either at lunch, taking a walk during lunch for 30 minutes, assuming they have more than 30 minutes for lunch, because they certainly need to eat, or first thing in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah, I think 30 minutes is a real minimal amount of time.
Okay.
The women that I see who have the most straightforward labors in a general sense. Obviously, there are different people have different situations, and we can't say it for everyone. Mm-hmm. But people who walk around an hour a day most days of the week, mm-hmm. and who do yoga.
Oh, have the best outcome.
Yep. They have the most straightforward, quickest labors, even for first-time moms.
Okay, well, so that's something that's pretty easy that, you know, anybody can figure out how to do it. Does it need to start right at the beginning of pregnancy and all the way through?
I think that that's the best.
Okay.
It's really hard to come into it the last, you know, 6 weeks of pregnancy when you're feeling so big and it's hard to want to do anything to, not that you shouldn't do it if you haven't up till that point, but I don't think that the outcome is necessarily going to be as advantageous if you start later. I think mm-hmm. it's something that a woman should be doing throughout her pregnancy, for sure.
I agree completely. And a lot of people do. What about swimming?
I think swimming is a really good form of exercise. And if it's something that a person likes to do, mm-hmm. I think that that's optimum also.
Does it does some of the same things of loosening up and helping the labor be better if people are swimming?
Yes. Yes. Oh. I just don't see as many people doing that, probably because of the accessibility of pools. The one thing about most pools that we run into is that they just have such high chlorine levels, and that's not really that great for moms. So,
or aside babies. From that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then there is another whole aspect, which is how the pelvis is doing. People think that it's normal to have back pain when you're pregnant. It's common,
yes.
But it's not normal.
I think we have, besides just the fact we're sedentary, we can expand upon that. What are we sitting on? You know, we're sitting in cars, where bucket seats elevate the knees above the hips. So many people have lazy boy recliners or a recliner of some sort where, again, you know, the woman is going backwards, elevating her knees above her hips. We sit in futons, same thing. you know, nobody sits in straight back anything anymore, sits on the floor. So, yes, we have people who have a lot of back discomfort. And we use the lazy boy recliner, for one, if as an example, as mm-hmm. a way of helping with back pain, when in fact it probably promotes it.
Right. Well, yeah, definitely. As a chiropractor, I spend a chunk of every day trying to encourage everyone to move more, you know, get up and walk and run or something,
yeah.
Do something more, be more active for whatever. But certainly in pregnancy, it's really important. Of course, you know, people don't start with a four-year-old to carry, just like they don't start with 9 months pregnant. You know,
right.
If you're moving from the beginning, you can move easier.
Right.
So, shall we talk about the Webster technique?
We should.
Okay.
We should.
Why don't you introduce it?
Okay. There is a technique that chiropractors can use that I had discovered probably 10 years ago or so, that is very effective in helping women who are experiencing back pain in pregnancy, as well as it seems to help to align the pelvis and the uterus in such a way that it allows the baby to move into an optimum position for being born.
Now, one of the things that seems to be happening is a lot more babies seem to be not in the right position. And you think that's part of the lack of activity?
Yes.
Wow. Nothing else?
Yes.
Okay. So,
can I say an old Amish wives' tale? They say if you scrub your floor on your hands and knees, you will have a quick labor. And that goes along with the whole getting the baby in a good position prior to labor.
Rather than lying on your back.
Yeah. And so I do also tell clients about that and suggest that as much of their housework that they can do on their hands and knees, play with their other children on their hands and knees, crawl around, will help that baby by gravity to rotate into an optimum position.
That is so amazing. Okay, well, so let's talk about what the Webster technique is.
Should I read the definition?
Yeah, why don't you read that?
Okay. The Webster technique is a specific chiropractic analysis and adjustment that reduces interference to the nerve system and balances maternal pelvic muscles and ligaments. This in turn reduces torsion in the uterus, a cause of intrauterine constraint of the baby, and allows for optimal fetal positioning in preparation for birth. And in my 10 years of sending clients to chiropractors to have that done, I've seen, you know, anecdotally really good results. I've not kept any statistics on it, but I find that women feel better. I had one client recently who said she felt better than she had felt before any of her other pregnancies. She just felt wonderful and felt like finally she had some release in her back and her pelvis.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've found that in pregnancies where the baby is not head down, in 100% where I've used the Webster technique, they have become head down within the day, and they've stayed down, and all the women have had these awesome labors. But I didn't know about this till you exposed me to it, and it's wonderful. Dr. Webster was a chiropractor. His children and grandchildren have taken over the teaching of this technique, and I learned about it on the internet, which is a great place to get all kinds of information. And I read how it's done, what are the principles, what do you do, and started practicing. And I didn't know if it would do anything, but it has been amazing. Most of the manipulation part is what chiropractors do, except working on the pubic bone in the front. You know, the pelvis is a circle, and it has three joints. They're the two sacroiliac joints and the pubic joint, and they all need to be addressed. But then we were talking about all these ligaments. How many ligaments hold the uterus?
Eight.
Okay. So that's the other part, is relaxing those ligaments. And there's some massage. And there's not a turning of the baby. People think of, oh, you're going to turn the baby. No.
Right.
That has lots of potential dangers, and it's not recommended. I mean, if you're going to go that route, you need to be in a hospital for that, because it can rupture the placenta. It can be a bad deal. And this isn't that at all.
Right.
This is within the normal scope of a chiropractor in their office to do. And it's a pretty cool thing.
And are the women who are having it done, do they like how it feels? Do they think that it hurts when they're having it done?
Well, getting the pubic bone adjusted sometimes hurts for a second. The rest of it is all, generally, late in pregnancy, everything, because of the hormone elastin, is so loose. Women are very easy to adjust. I mean, pretty much everything. It's really, they can self-adjust sometimes. You know, they just move a little, and because everything is loose, the ligaments are just soft, which is why women get waddly in their pelvis.
Right.
And that's a good thing, because
right,
you're getting ready. And but usually people love it. No, they feel good at the time, they like it, and they love how they feel later. Back pain goes away, pubic pain goes away. That's another thing. A lot of people
yes.
who hurt right in the front at the bottom and the pubic bone, they think, they're not sure. They never mention it to anyone that they're having it.
Right.
And that's a sign that there's a misalignment there in the front of the pelvis. And it is so easy to realign.
I see that as a really big issue for a lot of women, especially if they've had babies before, that pubic bone pain.
I had that with my second and not with my first, and they were so misaligned, and it was like magic. I had it adjusted, the pain went away, and I was like, oh, man, do I feel better? It was great.
So do you find that the women need to come back repetitively, or is it something that they can come back for when it just they're feeling uncomfortable? What's your suggestion?
What I've kind of come to with it is I want to watch it and see if the baby stays head down. And so at first I want to watch. And then I kind of get into, I want to look at once a week. I want to make sure that the pelvis stays good up until the week then the appointment is canceled because the baby's coming or the baby's happened in between. So pretty much every week in the last month to make sure everything is good. And that's what I've been doing. I don't know if that's ideal, but it seems to be enough.
Yeah.
You know, people want to, they want to stay pain-free. You want to have your pelvis happy
yes.
in the last month of pregnancy. So that's kind of what I've been using as a guideline.
And what do you see postpartum? Do you like to see them immediately postpartum or?
It depends how they're doing. I'd love to see them within the first few weeks. And usually people are fine. You know, a couple adjustments and they're good.
Right.
And then maybe later. But then later would be something else. You know, maybe at 6 weeks when things are really tightening up, they may notice some issues, but maybe not. Because now the whole dynamics are different. The
right.
weight's on the shoulder, on the hip, not in the
right.
belly.
Right.
Yeah. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more. My guest is Tammy Roloff. She is a licensed doula and a licensed midwife. And if you want to give us a call here, do so at 325-0010. Also, the Master Gardener Spring Into Garden Seminar is at the Clatsop County Fairgrounds on April 17th. It's a Saturday from 8 to 4. We'll be right back. Well, we're back. You're listening to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldine, and I'm with licensed midwife and licensed doula, Tammy Roloff. And you said there is something about a website to look at for fetal position?
Yes, there is a really great website that I like. It's called spinningbabies.com. So it's www.spinningbabies, that's babies plural, .com. And they have a really great page that talks about belly mapping. So you can, as a mom, during your pregnancy, learn to figure out where your baby is in your uterus. And they show some really great drawings and some tips on how to figure that out for yourself. And you can ask your care provider to help you figure out where the baby's back and head and feet are. And that will also give you some ideas as to exercises and things that you could do to optimize the baby's position.
Great.
One other thing I like to mention is the exercise ball. It is a really great thing to have around your house because it's something you can sit on if you are watching TV, something you can lean over if you're watching TV, or you can use it when you're get the right size for your table or desk where you're using your computer. And when the baby is born, it's a really nice thing to bounce on to comfort the baby, soothe the baby. And if you want to do exercises, you can find videos, things online that tell you how to use it for that.
It's a great way to exercise, and it's certainly giving your back a lot more proper positioning and exercise than sitting in a chair.
Right.
Yeah, unlike what we're doing right now.
Right.
Okay, so let's talk about doulas. What is a doula and what does a doula do?
Well, there are a couple kinds of doulas. It used to be that we just said doula and it was kind of an all-encompassing word. Now we say birth doula and postpartum doula. And a birth doula is someone who normally meets with clients prenatally at least a couple times and then answers questions over the phone or by email when the mom is getting close to either going into labor or is in early labor, and then accompanies the mom and her family to wherever it is that she's having the baby. So if she's having the baby at home, she would stay or come over to the mother's home. If the mother is having the baby at the hospital, she would accompany them to the hospital. And the doula stays with the parents throughout the entire labor and birth and for a little while during the postpartum time, and then offers some sort of postpartum support. Usually it's fairly brief, the first few days and up to a week postpartum. And then the postpartum doula is somebody that comes in after the mom has the baby at some point, maybe prearranged. It may be something the mom figures out she needs after the fact, after she has the baby. And she comes in and she will help with housework, help with breastfeeding, give parenting tips, will sometimes help with the other siblings if need be. And she is somebody that will work with the parents for either a predetermined length of time or just kind of be on call for that mom until she feels like she has made the adjustments to having a new baby. and both of those roles have been roles that traditionally have been done by the woman's family, by her mommy, her grandma, her aunties, her friends and neighbors. We don't live in those kinds of communities anymore, so now it has become this paid profession. But a birth doula There have been a number of studies done, and in the meta-analysis of it, they find that it can help women avoid unnecessary cesareans by 50%. It really lowers the epidural rate and just other interventions and the ultimate satisfaction that the woman feels about her birth, how empowered she feels, is definitely increased when she hires a birth doula.
I think the more support we have when we're having a baby, the less things are going to go wrong.
Yes, and so much is out there information-wise, but not everyone has access, the time, the energy, the ability to figure out how to navigate the internet to get to all the information out there. So a doula does nothing clinical. You know, there are no blood pressures, you know, nothing, no cervical exams, nothing that a care provider, whether it's a doctor or midwife, provides for the pregnant woman. But the doula provides informational support, physical and emotional support during labor, which would be things like massage, providing back pressure, just giving the mother comfort. Basically, it's mothering the mother, mm-hmm. Providing the kind of comfort that women have traditionally provided each other as they've gone through labor and birth, because we all do better going through a birth when we can look at another woman in the eyes and know she has been through it before us, and that we too can make it through. If she's standing there saying you can do it, then you really can. Whereas oftentimes family members, their partner, woman's partner, even her mother, her mother came from the days like my mother did where they were totally anesthetized for birth, those people have a real emotional investment in this woman who's in labor, and they're scared for her a lot of times. And so they see her, what they perceive as pain, it can be a very real pain for many women, but what they perceive as something that the woman needs to be rescued from. In fact, the woman just needs support to get through, and most women can. In my experience, women who come to birth and say, well, you know, maybe I would like to have an epidural, I'm not sure, but I'll try it without pain medication until I feel like I need it. And nearly 100% of those people, as long as they haven't been induced or augmented with drugs to get labor going, nearly 100% of those people will not ask for pain medication with the presence of a doula. Because they can look in my eyes and I say, you can do it. It's not going to be that much longer. This is what's happening. And they believe me and they get through it and they're thrilled that they did.
Well, it gives you so much confidence in yourself.
Yes.
I mean, you do the most amazing thing that you can do.
Yeah. Yeah. If you can have a baby, you can do anything.
Absolutely. Now, it doesn't mean if you had a cesarean, you're a failure either.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, stuff happens.
That's right.
Okay. So you're offering a training for people who want to be doulas.
Yes.
So tell me about that.
The training that I offer is a DONA-approved birth doula training.
What's DONA?
DONA is Doulas of North America and is the oldest, largest doula certifying organization in the United States. And I'm a DONA-approved doula trainer, and that means my curriculum has been approved by DONA, mm-hmm. and it is a workshop over a weekend, and it's a Friday evening, all day Saturday, and Sunday morning, mm-hmm. and it costs $350, and it is one part of becoming certified through DONA. You actually have to take somebody's workshop if you want to be certified mm-hmm. through DONA.
And so when is the doula workshop?
It will be April 2nd, 3rd, and 4th.
Okay. And then if people want to sign up for that, how should they do it?
They can give me a call. My cell phone number is 360-783-2558, or they can email me at info@longbeachmidwife.com.
Okay. And if you missed that information, you can give us a call here when we get off the air at 325-0010, and we will give you that information. And so at the end of the training, what will people know and what will they be able to do?
Well, we will just go through all of the roles that a doula, birth doula can have. Every doula gets to choose what it is she's going to offer her clients. But we will go through a pretend birth. We will act it out. We watch many videos. There's lots of question and answer time, lots of storytelling where I give actual birth experiences so that most women come with some experience to the birth doula classes. But there are some that don't, who've never been to a birth. So I try to make sure that it covers what that group of women specifically needs.
Mm-hmm. And then can they go and be a doula right after that?
Certainly. Certainly.
Oh. So being certified is an additional step, but it's not mandatory?
Correct. Correct. Oh. There is nobody overseeing, how a doula functions. It's you said licensed doula. I'm actually a certified doula. Oh. There isn't a licensing body overseeing them. So that's a really good point. If you want to hire a doula, you really do want to ask all the questions that you can ask to make mm-hmm. sure that this person has experience and is somebody that you feel comfortable working with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Just like anybody who's going to help you with your birth, as in a doctor, a midwife, or whatever.
Yes.
I would expect to ask a lot of hard questions.
Yes. And if you aren't sure what questions to ask, you can go online, and there are lots of places that you can find a list of questions to ask a prospective doula.
Oh, great. Do you have one of those?
I think if you go to the DONA website.
And is that D-O-N-A?
DONA.org.
Okay.
And if you go to that website, they have, they list certified doulas. They give lots of different bits of information on, mm-hmm. What should a doula do, what's appropriate behavior for doulas, what's their scope of practice. And they also give questions that you can ask a prospective doula. So you could just copy it off and...
That's great. That's good. Well, I wonder how many people listening are either pregnant, potentially pregnant, or know someone who's is.
Well, it can be a great gift for family members to give a pregnant mom if they wonder, if a woman has everything already, she might really like to have a doula.
I think I would. Yeah. I mean, if I were thinking back to when I did. That would have been a wonderful thing to have, more support.
Yes.
The more support, the better.
Yeah. I never had a doula. Actually, when I first started doing doula work, there was no word doula. That's something that's a word that has been coined later in my life. And actually comes from a Greek word that means slave. And it's the type of slave that knows what their master wants before they even ask.
The perfect slave.
Yes. But I did have one nurse at one of my births who I was having some back labor, and she massaged my thighs, and she probably did it just a few times, but that is so vivid in my mind. It felt so good, and it helped so much, and it was... So she was being a doula and she didn't know it.
That's great. Well, thank you very much, Tammy.
You're welcome.
My guest has been Tammy Roloff.
I'm a certified doula.
Certified doula and licensed midwife. You've been listening to Your Health. Next week is Dig in the Dirt. And on Dig in the Dirt next week, I will have Kathleen Say. She is a biologist with Shorebank. And we'll be talking about gardening with native plants.